from KQED.
Warning. Water conservation can be hazardous to your health.
Here, we had a phenomenon that people called bucket back.
That's Rebecca Nelson talking on a Skype connection, not from her shower. She's a research fellow at Stanford University's Woods Institute for the Environment, but she lives in Australia, which recently endured a 9-year drought, something that hasn't happened in California in at least a century. Bucket back is the back strain Aussies would suffer from catching the excess shower water in their buckets and hauling it outside to water their gardens. The big dry that ran through 2009 was the worst drought in Australia's recorded history. It devastated the farm economy and triggered severe restrictions on urban water use. But Nelson says it also transformed the water culture in that country. She says some ways they found to adapt were relatively painless, and much of it stuck.
Absolutely. The ethical and moral dimension of water use, I think, really built during the drought.
Nelson lives in Melbourne, which gets just about the same average rainfall as San Francisco, about 23 inches a year. She estimates that about half the homes in Melbourne now have systems to capture and store rain, and most new homes have dual plumbing systems to recycle grey water. For example, rinse water from the washing machine goes to the toilet for flushing. The result is that residential water use in Melbourne is down to about 40 gallons per person per day, including outside watering. Californians average 2 to 4 times that, depending on how much landscaping they have. So I asked her, when she came to California to study water consumption, if she wasn't, well, appalled.
So the honest answer to that was initially yes.
I think there's a lot of lessons we could learn.
Matthew Heberger is a water analyst at Oakland's Pacific Institute. He's written extensively about the Australian experience.
Lots of initiatives to capture runoff and infiltrate it into the ground where you can later on use it for water supply, not allowing stormwater to just run out into the sea.
The government there spent $25 billion on drought countermeasures. By comparison, that's more than twice as much as the contentious water bond that may be on California's ballot this fall. That ambitious program included building a string of desalination plants along the coast.
Desalination is considered a holy grail by water managers. The ocean is essentially a limitless source of water. The problem is that it's expensive and it's energy intensive to take the salt out of the water.
Consequently, when the rains returned, which they did with a vengeance in 2010, desal could no longer compete price-wise with water that fell from the sky.
And so you've got these very expensive projects that have, for now at least, been sort of mothballed.
3 years into California's drought, desal is looking good to a lot of people. This nation's largest desal plant is scheduled to go online in 2016 near San Diego, with at least a dozen more on the drawing board along California's coast.
I think most ordinary citizens would say it's fantastic to have a climate-independent source of water. But
Rebecca Nelson says there's a cautionary tale here. The best decisions for drought planning are not made during the drought.
The panic that's generated during drought, many people say, led the desalination plant to be built many, many more times bigger than it really should have been.
There are lots of parallels between here and there when it comes to water. Most of the water is in the north, most of the people in the south. The rain tends not to fall during the growing season, and Australia's agriculture, like California's, uses 70 to 80% of the water. And that's where transplanting lessons gets a little bit tricky. Here, farm water is meted out by a long-standing, some would say Byzantine, system of property rights, junior, senior, riparian, pre-1914.
That consideration just doesn't exist in Australia, because the way that Australian water law manages scarcity is by saying, if there's less water around, everybody takes a haircut.
And because of that, it's been easier for Australians to develop an efficient system of water marketing for farmers and ranchers.
It's almost as easy to sell water from your water bank account as it is to just transfer money from a normal bank account.
As more than one observer has put it, Californians tend to settle their accounts in the courts. So while Australia may be a useful laboratory for developing drought resilience, does that mean that California needs a 9-year drought as a kind of shock therapy?
You know, I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but it did certainly do a lot to raise awareness.
Awareness helps, but to make the Golden State truly drought resistant, That will take political will and compromise, something else that is often in short supply. I'm Craig Miller, KQED News.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, the David B. Gold Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabsonell Foundation.